Let's go, Rider Nation.
Welcome to the Piffles Podcast, your Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Thanks for joining us this week. As always, you got me. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
And for the first time in a long time, no Greg, so it's going to be the best show ever. Steve, when you missed out on the last show that you missed out on, we replaced you with Jeff Fairholm. I think that's a pretty good
solid. Yep.
This week, we have a pretty good replacement lined up for Greg here, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Let's get through some housekeeping here right off the top. Piffles Podcast, of course, brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Thanks for watching on YouTube, SaskTel Max TV On Demand, listening through your favorite podcast platform. We appreciate it. You can give us a follow on X at Piffles Pod. Of course, I'm at Real Alex D.
You can find me at Safamod.
Greg does not, he told me he does not want your pity follows at Greg on Sports. He still wants people to know that despite him being at, what is he at, a Jays game? Is that where he decided to go
instead of doing this? Don't know where he is, but he's a part-timer.
I hope they lost. I didn't even look. I hope the Jays lost just in spite of Greg. Check us out on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/PifflesPodcast and PifflesPodcast.com. We have so much to talk about, theme nights, probably a rant or two, and I need to know why Steve doesn't like a certain rock band, and we're going to get into that a little bit later on, but right now, it's time for the opening kickoff. All right, well, joining us on the opening kickoff, Greg's replacement, and I'm excited to bring on right now, the new voice of the Riders, Dave Thomas. Dave, thanks for joining us here on the Piffles Podcast.
Oh, it's my pleasure, gentlemen, and I'm no Jeff Fairholm.
Well, we'll find out. He was pretty good.
Honestly, either am I, so they keep trying to replace me with him.
We'll let Jeff be the judge of that. He listens to the show, so we'll ask him in a couple days who's better.
Fair enough, no pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Well, first off, Dave, congratulations on being named the new voice of the Riders and the new role that you have. Has it sunk in now that people are calling you the voice of the Riders?
No, but it still gives me a chill down my neck for sure. And just hearing other people say it is pretty cool. So no, it hasn't sunk in. It's beginning to get real quick, but yeah, no, it hasn't sunk in.
Now, we know a lot of people in Saskatoon know Dave Thomas. You've been around the Rush. You've been around the Huskies, the Hilltops. Folks in Regina may not be as familiar. In a few short words or whatnot, who is Dave Thomas?
Dave is a family guy. He's a husband. He's a father. And that's kind of where I get my start. And that's where the foundation of Dave is. But then from there, professionally, I've been privileged enough to be in broadcasting for 25 years. I started out in my small town radio station down in Weyburn, where I would go in late in the evening operating Toronto Blue Jays games, which meant that every time Jerry Howarth or Tom Cheek called for a commercial, I had to hit a button. And I was pretty good at hitting that one button because that was the only thing that I had to do during a Toronto Blue Jays game. From there, I spent the last couple of decades up in Saskatoon. It started out as just doing an afternoon show, which basically 2 months into my tenure, the legendary Les Lazarick came up to me and he said, "Hey, I need a color guy. I hear you've done broadcasts." And I'm like, "Yeah, I did some SJHL stuff with the Weyburn Red Wings." So little did I know that would lead to the next 10 years of my career, right to his right generally, and depending on the broadcast booth, but 400 games or so in the Western Hockey League. Then I had a chance to start broadcasting Saskatoon Hilltops games, which is kind of where I fell in love with football once again, as I'd played back in the day. I had no talent on the field for sure, so that's why it didn't last long. And then I got to do some University of Saskatchewan Husky games, move into Canada West TV. I've done a World Junior Hockey Championship, a Memorial Cup on national radio. So I'm just the luckiest guy. I get to go ahead and watch sports and people actually pay me to do it.
And you just can't shake off Justin Dunk.
Oh man, I tell you, if I had the enthusiasm that that guy does, I tell you, the energy, it doesn't stop. I'd like to get a bottle of Dunk. Like, I know my kids drink Prime all the time. If I could get a bottle of Dunk, the energy I would have from that would be phenomenal.
Sounds like a good marketing spot for the CFL.
Growing up, did you was the Riders a big love of yours? Did you get to go to many games as a kid?
You know what? We didn't go to tons of games. We would go to two or three a season. That was kind of the treat, if you will, if Dave was doing well in school. You know, nice little carrot to dangle. But definitely we got to go to our fair share. But it was always larger than life to go to Taylor Field, because from the time that I was a kid, when we got to start to go to some of those games, it was really cool. Then I got an opportunity to play on that turf, which was even cooler. And then you grow up and you get your license in Saskatchewan, like we all do. And then you can hit the open roads and nobody's holding you back. And that's when some of the best times I had, when we went to the old university section at Taylor Field, it was amazing. Like some folks have said, well, what's the best game you ever went to? And of course I was privileged enough to do sidelines for the 2013 Grey Cup. So nothing will ever top that. But a game back in 96, it was August 27th, 1996. And it was a game with, where they went ahead and they packed Taylor Field, and was part of kind of a resurgence for the franchises. They were in a bit of financial trouble, so they had a real push trying to go ahead and get the last game sold out. So there was over 33,000 at Taylor Field that game against Sacramento. And I remember I was sitting on the sideline kind of behind one of the benches, just because they didn't have temporary bleachers or anything for this. It was just come on out and cheer on the team. We need money kind of thing. And I'll never forget that game. Ridgeway connects on a last second field goal. Everybody stormed the field. I lost my dad. He was mad at me. It was fun.
Yeah. We all remember games on, I think, what do they call it? Hemorrhoid Hill in the end zone at Taylor Field. Those are kids today. Don't understand how much fun that was.
No, nor do they understand the fact that back in the day, you know, if you were handy and slim, than I am, you could go ahead and fit under the gate, but we won't tell that to anyone right now.
Nobody heard a thing. What was this whole process like for you, from the interviews to getting the job? What was it like?
Surreal, absolutely surreal. To tell you the honest truth, the opportunity presented itself, and I kind of explored it a little bit, and there was a conversation back and forth, and I don't know what happened or what swayed people in my direction, but it was like, we think you're the perfect fit for the job. So from there, it was just seeing if it would work for my family. And I've told the story a number of times that my oldest son, he's in university up here, and he had the most to lose from us moving, as we are going to relocate from Saskatoon down to Regina. We're pretty proud of that, because we want to make sure that we're there in the heart of Rider Nation for the Rider season. And he basically, after coaching him in hockey for years, he always tells me that, or told me and reminded me that, you always told us as players, we had to be in a position to succeed, and then we had to go ahead and take that step. And so he reminded me, Dad, you're in that position to succeed now. Go ahead and take that step. And so it was pretty cool and pretty deep for a 19-year-old. I don't know if he ever listens to anything else I ever say, but that was pretty cool that he had that one.
Just listens to the most important stuff, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So you're going to be moving your family here. How cool was it to have your family here with you in Regina at Mosaic Stadium last week when you were officially named as the voice?
I couldn't look at them. I don't know if many people actually knew that or not, but I couldn't look at them because I'd get emotional just seeing the two of them there. My son went out and he bought himself some Rider gear in the store before he was coming in. He says, I'm not wearing enough green. So he went and he stopped at the store on the way into Mosaic Stadium to make sure that he was going to fit in okay. But it was very special. And it was a very kind of the staff with the Riders and Harvard Media both allowing them to come down and see it firsthand. And like I said, I wouldn't have traded that for anything. It was an amazing day, and I'll never forget that.
How hard was it to keep the secret?
For me or them? No, you know, in all honesty, I wanted to shout it from the rooftops as loud as I could, as proud as I was. And end of the day, it wasn't my news to tell. And that sounds really ridiculous considering it's me. But at the end of the day, I just wanted to respect the process. And like I say, that's one of the things that I pride myself in, is being a good teammate. And I wanted to make sure that, again, that the message was controlled however the message was going to be controlled and handled. And I was just happy to be a part of it. And then once the news came out, then it was splain in time to some family members who had no idea we were even going to be moving from Saskatoon. But everybody has been really, really supportive. So that it's cool.
Now this role, it's more than just a play-by-play, right? Like I know previously this role was with host of the Sports Cage. It's a little bit different now. It's more than just play-by-play though, right? Like you're not just going to just do the game and that's it. There's going to be more behind the scenes, I'd assume.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a sucker for my alarm clock going off at 3:30 in the morning. Like crazy as it is, but I'm going to be taking care of some morning sports responsibilities across the Harvard Media Network. The all-new sportscage.com is a real passion project. And the fact that we've got an opportunity to do something really, really special with that brand. And we're going to start pushing the limits on that a little bit and covering local sports in a brand new way. So I get an opportunity to be a part of that. And I think it's pretty cool that, like I say, yes, I'm a sucker for getting up at 3:30 in the morning, but I can stay up past 8 o'clock too.
Now, speaking of multiple sports, you've had some history with, you mentioned hockey, the Rush, the Huskies, the Hill, like you've basically done it all as it comes to Saskatchewan sports, but how different is it to do play by play for a sport like lacrosse or hockey versus football?
Lacrosse was definitely the hardest because I didn't have a great background in lacrosse. So I really had to go ahead and take a crash course in learning lacrosse. So from watching, I can't tell you how many games, to talking to as many people as I could, to people that have been broadcasting the game for a long time, who are so kind to offer me the opportunity to pick their brain, to learn more about the sport, but then also broadcasting the sport and how to do that. So it's an entirely different flow. Lacrosse, hockey, of course, I'd been around. That was where I kind of had started with hockey. And again, I enjoy doing hockey as well. But football to me is just an opportunity to truly tell a story, because the pace, while the pace is definitely there, the energy is definitely there, there's the pauses in between plays, and that's where you can get in depth with statistics, with storytelling, and so on and so forth. So like I say, they're all very different sports, and you hit the nail on the head when you said I've been very fortunate to have the opportunity to do them.
Now, we mentioned Greg can't be here this week, and he wanted to ask you this, so I wrote this down and made sure that I need to specify that this is a Greg question. Okay. Your name, Dave Thomas, associated with some other Dave Thomases that we've become accustomed to. Do you ever go Office Space on people when they ask you, are you the burger guy or the guy from the Great White North?
No, I've had it forever. It's funny because growing up in Weyburn, right? So we're in a small town, small community. Everybody's got a nickname. I never had a nickname associated with either, which was incredible. And I don't know if it's just because we lived in that sheltered world or what, but it really wasn't brought to my attention. Well, not brought to my attention, but it really wasn't pointed out as frequently as it is right now. Until I moved to Saskatoon. And then from there, it's like, okay. Yeah, no, but hey, you know what? I've been called a lot worse in my life, so I'll go with that.
So no hoser jokes, no take off A, nothing like that?
No, but it's funny because there are a number of teachers that were almost fired in Weyburn back in the day, because, you know, every school has theme days, right? And so they decided that they were going to, now picture this. They decided that at our elementary school, they were going to have a hoser day. So what were the hosers known for? The cases of beer. So yeah, all these elementary school kids are bringing their dads empty cases of beer and they're yelling whatever. And like, can you imagine, like, whoever thought of that was a good idea, but truly almost lost their job. So not as funny as it is now, but probably.
That's such a Weyburn thing. My grandma lives in Weyburn and I can confirm that's a very, very Weyburn thing. Probably lots of all you can eat chicken buffets for you though, right?
Oh, absolutely. They actually implemented that 3 years before I left. So yeah, it was a good thing. And again, on a starter introductory broadcast salary, like I tell you, we were asking for boxes to take leftovers if we could.
Now, you've had a chance to meet new head coach Corey Mace. We've talked about a bunch on the show here. What's your take on him and the team in 2024 under his leadership?
Genuine would be the first adjective that comes to Corey Mace when I've had the opportunity to meet him, hear him speak. A very genuine human being. And that is something that I think gives you instant credibility. And that's why I think that the free agent class that the Rough Riders were able to attract. Now, again, Jeremy O'Day, you got to give him credit, right? He did a job as the general manager. It's his job. But when you've got Corey Mace going ahead and talking about what he believes are his pillars to the foundation for the team and how he's going to build it, how he's going to grow it, what he hopes that the athletes are going to be able to bring to get the most out of them that they can, it's very inspiring. So I think that Coach Mace has got that instant credibility that he has. The coaching staff that he's brought in and surrounded himself with are good people. So I think this is going to be a really cool working relationship with high energy all over the place.
Now, I grew up wanting to be a sports broadcaster, like most young boys here in Saskatchewan want to do. They want to be, you know, Bob Cole, Harry Neal, right? That's my generation growing up. Didn't pan out. I got stuck in radio for 10 years and again, you press that one button for in Weyburn. I pressed a couple buttons here in Regina. Who were your broadcasting heroes or role models growing up?
There was a lot. Jim Houston was my guy because being from Weyburn, Tiger Williams, right, was from Weyburn. So that made me a Vancouver Canuck fan because that's where he was at that point in his career. So I really would go, they used to call it the skip, right? And that's where a radio signal would skip over the mountains. And sometimes you could pick it up crystal clear. And for some reason, we could pick up Vancouver Canuck games quite clearly. So again, this is before the internet where you could actually just go ahead and listen online. So Jim Houston was one. I love listening to Bob Irving over in Winnipeg. Mark Steven in Calgary, who's been kind enough to reach out. Chris Cuthbert, I've had an opportunity to meet him on a few occasions, so he's terrific. And again, as far as analysis and analysts go, Glenn Suter, I wore this number 27 in high school because I wanted to be Glenn Suter. Now, I had a lot of interceptions, but I was a terrible athlete, and I didn't listen to my coaches and was in the wrong spot all the time, so they were more fluke than anything. But Glenn Suter, he was on radio in Regina back when I was down in Weyburn still. And I just remember, like, this is the coolest. Like, it's an athlete that's doing radio. How cool and how much cooler can that get? So there's a lot of people that I have looked up to for sure. But those are just a couple of names anyways.
Glenn Suter, did you ever have the mustache like Suter had?
No. We tried, though. We tried it in grade 12, and it was a terrible disaster. Like, it was brutal. Like, it should not have happened. They actually, so to take the Suter story even further, so they thought, well, because I had great hands, and I would have been played receiver, except we went on a family vacation during offensive meetings during the summer camps. So I never got to go to the offensive meeting, so I didn't know the offense, so I could never play receiver. But they always talked about my hands. So they were going to have me hold just like Suter did. But I was too afraid because I didn't trust our kicker that he was going to kick my hand. So I'd always drop the football. So I didn't do that. And then my father was actually, he's English. So they thought, well, hey, you play soccer, you should kick. So I had an opportunity to kick one extra point when our kicker got hurt. And that's how rough it is in Weyburn when your kicker is getting hurt. So they had me come in to kick the extra point, and I put it right off the backside of the center. And I never had an opportunity to kick again.
Hard to follow that question up. I'm just picturing the kick and entertainment that must have followed.
How about the sounds? That was even worse. The sound was way worse.
I imagine you can just hear it every now and again as you look back on it.
Yep.
So you've got a day off from work. You're not, family's around, family's not, what have you. But what's Dave Thomas doing in his downtime?
You know what? I do a lot with minor hockey here in Saskatoon, and I'm hoping to have the opportunity to do that down in Regina a little bit. I do coach, and I really enjoy working with youth. So if I get that opportunity, I definitely would do that. I like golfing. I love camping. My family hates camping with me, but I love going camping and just going ahead and turning the phone off and being in solitude for a while. So those are kind of some of my passions, but usually it's following kids around somewhere where they're going.
Are you a camper? Are you a camper or a glamper?
I don't bring a hairdresser, or I don't bring a blow dryer or nothing like that. So no, it's not glamping with me. Like, I cook everything on the fire, and if it can't be cooked on the fire, you're eating it raw. And if it's raining, better hope for some canned food.
The 2024 Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Last couple of years, obviously, haven't been very kind to them, especially after Labor Day, not winning games back to back 6-12 seasons. Is this 2024 team that you've seen on paper? Obviously, they don't hit the field for another few weeks here in training camp. Is this a playoff team this year?
Okay, I'll be blunt. I don't do predictions. I don't like doing predictions when it comes to win and losses, but I can tell you, Mark, for me, looking at this roster, and again, you can never predict injuries. You can never predict, for example, you're going to have at least one bad weather game. You could have a series of three bad weather games where all of a sudden you can't throw the football, right? So there's all these variables. But to me, yes, this team on paper is much better. If health stays consistent, if they can go ahead and I think execute the way that the coaches are going to ask them to execute on the field, I think this is a much better team than what it was last year. And I think primarily it comes down to Trevor Harris. And again, I know that people are going to throw stuff at me for saying this and say, you can't extrapolate statistics over an entire season from a 5-game sample. But if you were to, and if everything stayed on a linear path, Trevor Harris and his numbers over what, 5, 4.5 games last year, they would have put him at number 2 in passing yards in the entire CFL. Is it realistic to think that's where he would have ended up or not? I don't know. We'll never know. But if you can keep him healthy, which again, adding more depth to the offensive line, bringing in a running back who is tough as nails, can run the football, but also is one of the best blockers out of the backfield, in my opinion, in the Canadian Football League. I think those are parts of the recipe for success for Trevor Harris. And if he returns to the form, brings the leadership that we know he is capable of, that right there goes ahead and raises the bar, I think, for the Riders.
With training camp just a couple of weeks away, the preseason games are so close together. 2 games in, 5 days, the Monday and the Saturday. Are you going to have much time to, because they got to have roster moves in between. How much studying and preparing are you going to be able to do for something like that, just with that many players around?
You know, for me, it's not that big of a deal. If you're there, I'll be able to tell you who's there, and I'm hoping that I'll have a good assessment personally of the roster and a good grasp for who is going to be on the roster at that time. For me, I feel bad for the players and the player personnel people because, let's face it, training camp opens on May the 12th, 13, or what is it, 8 days later, you've got your first preseason game after you've 2 days after you've got the Green and White Day here in Saskatoon, which is gigantic for this community in northern Saskatchewan with the people that travel in to see it. So backing up, so you've got that on the Saturday. Then on Monday, you go ahead and you're taking on the defending Grey Cup champion and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. This is traditionally, right, where your rookies and the young players that are right on that bubble of making the roster are going to get an opportunity to show off. And then 5 days later, you got to go ahead and you got to take on another team in the Edmonton Elks who are going to be trying to look and make a statement. So the final cuts don't have to be in until June 1st. So you can only imagine what's going to be the difference right now between assessing the talent that you've got and then implementing your playbooks and systems so that you can use it in live game action against an actual opponent. So obviously Coach Mace, they've got a plan. They're ready to execute that plan because everybody knows what the schedule is going to be like. But to me, for a broadcaster, it's not bad. I don't have to take any hits or anything like that. Or at least I hope I don't. I don't know what the rookie broadcasters have to do here, but I'm just saying that at the end of it, I feel for the players and player personnel because it is going to be tough if you're a young player to be able to make a big enough statement to stick on this roster early.
Well, Luke's a pretty big guy in the broadcast booth. So you got to be careful with the little hand slap on the back might jolt you a little bit.
Well, that he's already told me, hey, I'm a golfer. So this could be interesting between the two of us. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you or hearing you on 620 CKRM doing the play-by-play first preseason game. I know I'll be tuning in. Pardon me, to hear that. Dave, thanks for joining us here on the Piffles podcast. We appreciate it and best of luck.
Hey, I appreciate what you guys do for Rider Nation. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right, we'll see you in a little bit. Dave Thomas, new voice of the Riders here on the Piffles podcast. I like the vibe. Being here in Regina, like I said before, I didn't know too much about Dave coming into this. I knew who he was. I knew what he did, but I like the vibe that he's bringing. And it just seems to be, that's what the culture of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders is kind of, you know, changing to over the last couple of years.
I'm a huge fan of the energy. fantastic radio voice. I think it's going to be a great broadcast. I'm really looking forward to it. He mentioned being a fan of the stats as well. I miss a lot of that from the Derek Taylor era of Rider broadcasting. So to be able to bring some of that back in during the downtime will be fantastic. But like you said, just seems like a positive presence. I'm really looking forward to that first preseason game.
Speaking of Derek Taylor, there's no better trash talker in broadcasters anyway, CFL play-by-play broadcasters than Derek Taylor. Having him for the dunk tank that we threw on last year for the CFL Fans Fight Cancer. Oh my goodness, can that guy chirp? Oh,
he was fantastic. That was a blast. We should do that every year just to have him back. No other reason, just 4 hours of Derek Taylor in the dunk tank.
I'm here for it. Okay, well, plenty of Rider news to talk about. We'll get to the theme nights in the odds and end zones coming up here. But I want to go over the couple signings here while we're still in the opening kickoff. Another defensive back brought in for the Riders, Antoine Brooks Jr., plenty of NFL experience, has a Super Bowl ring. That secondary competition, which I thought was really only going to be for one spot, that's going to be a wild competition. Guys that we thought were pretty much locks on this roster, I'm not so sure about anymore.
The farther into this offseason we get, and the more we see defensive backs signed, linebackers signed, it is clear to me that Coach Mace took a look at the roster last season and went, there's a weak spot. There's a spot that we need to improve. And we lost some pieces there. Nick Marshall, a big one, kind of. But it's a huge hole to fill, and it looks like they're bringing in so much talent to do it. And I really like this signing. I think he has as good a chance as any to jump into that spot. That's the one place where you really see rookies step in and take over a spot. It's not something that comes with a substantial learning curve like you see in other roles where they take some time on the practice roster. You know, we saw, what's his name, Deontay Williams last year basically just jump right into it. And that's the spot I'm going to be watching most of all when training camp kicks off, because there is going to be talent cut from that position.
Another linebacker brought in as well, CJ Avery, comes from, I think he was the one from Louisville. And a running back, another American running back brought in, Mr. Kennedy! Kennedy Brooks. Our old wrestling fans will appreciate that reference.
See, hopefully. You think of wrestling, I think of Tyler Kennedy now, because they used to do that with him whenever he scored a goal in Pittsburgh. So it's good, talented name.
That 09 cup run with TK working the cycle with Stahl and Matt Cook. Oh my goodness. That was my favorite line. Man, I love that line. What are we
doing? Don't get me reminiscing about Penguins time. We just missed the playoffs.
Yeah, we missed the playoffs. It's football time. We're talking football. So more talent brought in here. And then, of course, we're going to have the draft here in a couple weeks. So more talent still to be brought in for training camp. Coming up in just a few short weeks. We're less than a month away, which is wild to me.
It really feels like we've gotten through the offseason now. We're close enough to training camp and to the draft and to everything that happens that we're there. There's football. We can taste it.
And I'm actually off the week of the week of the draft. So I'm probably going to be a degenerate and pay attention to the global draft that morning as well. That's how excited I am for the 2024 season. That's the opening kickoff presented by Kathy Festian of Roy LePage Regina Realty. Let's jump to our Churchill Brewing Company odds and end zones. And it's one of my favorite things to talk about every single year. The theme nights. The Riders announced their theme nights. I need to give the Riders kudos right off the bat here for two things. Yes, I do. One, they announced the theme nights the day that we record. So they didn't wait till the day after. So thank you for not letting me have to wait a week on this. And second, they got rid of Country Night. Kinda.
No, they didn't.
they refreshed it. It was clear to me when I took a look at what the theme nights were, and we'll go through them, that they wanted some sort of refresh, rebranding of them to get rid of the country roots night. They got rid of the blackout night, the lights out game, which actually kind of
get me started on that. Terrible decision. I love that game.
Which, again, wasn't really a theme, but they you can still do stuff with that, right? Again, you're going to have a theme with that game. Bring out the black jerseys, which I know you love. Yes. Yes, you do.
No.
Come on. Greg's not here. You don't have to lie for him.
No, the black jerseys were awful, but they also represented a more or less not great time in Rider football.
The Riders could only beat Montreal when they wore those black jerseys. So I will always love that. Chris Zarka getting that big long touchdown catch against Montreal at Taylor Field back in 04. I'll always remember that. And plus, how badass did Reggie Hunt look wearing the black jersey with the visor? Oh, that's an intimidating look. That was awesome.
Intimidating, sure, until they saw them play. Reggie Hunt being a very clear exception to that rule.
The defense was good back then. Okay, so the theme nights go as follow. Of course, there's the preseason game. They're doing the community culture night, and then allowing all fans on the field after the game. A staple. They do that one all the time. That one's fine. Got to do those. I love them. The home opener. This year, there's actually a theme to the home opener, which I appreciate. It's a salute to the Canadian Armed Forces. They're going to have the Armed Forces band playing at the party in the park. And then they're going to have a youth football showcase pregame. And then, of course, we'll have the flyover as well, too. So there is a little theme there. So I appreciate that they're doing that. Again, is that if they can continue doing that throughout the game and have some sort of Armed Forces stories or tie it to the game somehow, then that works for me. So hopefully they do have something like that in the plans there. Then we get Throwback Thursday, which is replacing Retro Night, which we also have Legends Night, which is also Retro Night in a sense. So we always had two Retro Nights, but we're having Throwback Thursday Eras, Riders version. Hope they don't get sued by Taylor Swift for you using Eras, because I'm pretty sure she has that trademarked.
In fairness, Throwback Thursday is not a new theme. They had it last year as well. they recycled the same one, just different theme to the theme.
And that one's against Toronto. They're going to have Men Without Shame performing at halftime. I like that they're bringing in some local bands to play. I like that they're doing that. I always want to support local music, so I'm always a big fan of that. That said, if you're going to have a throwback game, but still use a Taylor Swift reference in there, what are you doing? Because Taylor Swift is not a throwback. Okay, if you're going to go in and have the Eras Riders version, go all in. Have a Swifty game, a Swifty night.
You want to talk about bringing in a new market? Look what she did for the NFL.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have, obviously you're not getting her in the stands like she was for Travis Kelce, but you mention her name and say you're going to be playing her music through half the game. People will show up. Her fans are that crazy.
Yes. Go all in. Do that. Have fun with it.
That seems to be a lacking theme, is the having fun with it part. That's what they're missing.
That's the theme that they constantly have, is no theme. So I wish they would do that. Obviously, the throwbacks, hopefully they're wearing their retro jerseys for that. But other than that, I don't know. We play classic rock all the time. I don't know what else they can do. The next one is really curious to me, though. This one, green is the color game. Is that a theme? We wear our green to games. Are we so sick and tired of wearing our blue shirts and red hats to Rider games that all of a sudden we're going to start wearing green now because it's green is the color game? This one, I don't understand this one. This makes no sense to me whatsoever. Can you make sense of this for me?
It feels lazy. It feels like it's a title to a song that everybody knows. Get everybody in the green instead of the green and white. I don't, unless there's more to it, I can't understand this one. Out of all of the themes that they've chosen, this one makes the least amount of sense.
Hopefully there'll be, I don't know, play Green Day all day. Offer us green beer or something. I don't know. That's how you can make it a theme, but wear your green to the game. Come on. Like that's not the theme here.
That's called Family Day.
Yeah. Family Day. Yes. Got to have those. It's the August long weekend, junior cheer team at halftime. Fans are allowed on the field post game. I'm good with all those. Those are fine. Now we get to the country roots game. I mean, the Prairie Proud game. It's just a refresh country roots night is all it is. But what they're doing, and I'm glad they're doing this because this is what was fun about it last year. And I think it was against Ottawa last year. They're bringing the sheep back. And that was the star of halftime. And the release that they sent out saying they're bringing the sheep back for halftime. They're acknowledging it. They're having fun with it. That's what they need to do. So I'm excited for the sheep.
Honestly, it's the best thing in Saskatchewan with sheep in the title. Prove me wrong.
Well, what about the sheepdogs?
I said what I said.
You got something against the sheepdogs?
I don't think there's a bad. I feel about the sheepdogs how a lot of people feel about Nickelback.
What?
Cannot stand them.
How can you
will
know?
Actively what? Turn them off if I hear them.
No.
Absolutely. 100%.
Are you telling me you're not feeling good about the sheepdogs?
If that's a sheepdogs reference, I don't understand it because I actively avoid their music.
I don't know. I'm going to be myself downtown. No.
Are those other titles?
Yes, those are other titles.
See, that would work if their music was, you know, good enough to get into my ear.
I don't get it. What's not to like about the sheepdogs? It's just that old country sound and rock and like southern rock. It's a good vibe. They put out a good vibe.
Here's the thing for me, and I can put it plainly because I've had to explain this before. They are the okayest of music. There is nothing special about them. And honestly, if one of their songs came on the radio and I didn't know it, there's a chance I'd probably tap my feet along to it. Like any other song that comes on. Wouldn't even question it. They're no different than any other band you'd see playing The Revival or The Exchange.
Wow.
The only difference is they put their name into an online contest in an era where Saskatchewan was known for winning online contests. You couldn't put a rider player on any CFL weekly contest or vote without us winning it. And honestly, it's probably because we have nothing else to do in Saskatchewan. We just sit there mashing the... What's that?
We go to concerts. Sheepdog concerts.
Maybe try going to good ones.
Wow.
But honestly, I think part of it for me is I watched them basically win this contest because Saskatchewan people are obsessed with online voting. We are. I mean, you look back at that, especially in that era... It was brutal. And because they won, their music became synonymous with Saskatchewan. Anytime you talk about Saskatchewan, oh, that's where the sheepdogs are from. Do you like the sheepdogs? The sheepdogs are awesome. And that made me hate them more. Because we're supposed to love them because I'm from Saskatchewan. It reminded me of growing up as a Penguins fan. And having to constantly, you know, be like, why don't you cheer for a Canadian team? And you know what? You know what I do now when Canadian teams are eliminated from the playoffs? When the last one is eliminated, I celebrate. I enjoy that moment when because this obsession that we have to like them. And it's the same with the sheepdog.
I'm so taken aback by that. Wow.
But I'll tell you this. In the end, why don't I like the sheepdogs? for the same reason I don't like Chris Streveler or Pumpkin Spice in summer. Because F them. That's why.
Well, I think I know who our next cameo is going to be. It's not going to be Streveler. I think it's going to be the Sheepdogs. But luckily, I'm the one pressing buttons this week. I have control of this.
And also, thank you for being such a big supporter and fan of the CFL and myself personally.
See,
we're going to get the exact same thing done by the Sheepdogs.
If you know anything about me, and I'm sure anybody listening to this rant or any other Streveler rant will know, once I hate something, I hate it for life. You cannot get out of that zone. They are doomed to my hate pile until the end of time. And I'm sure they're sitting there crying in their $1 million bank accounts. And I'm sure losing me as a fan is heartbreaking to them. But nope. Nope.
They got a hole where their heart should be.
Sure. Is that another one? Yeah. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you were a police officer, Steve, you'd be a bad lieutenant. That's all I got to say about this. I can't believe you don't like the Sheepdogs. Wow. I did not know that about you. I've known you a long time. I did not know that.
No, when they played at, what was that halftime show they played? Was that? No, they played the Grey Cup, didn't they? In 2013.
They would have not at halftime.
No, they were involved in some. I can't remember when they played. Maybe it's just a random game at Mosaic. I think that's the first time I've ever left my seat for a show.
Wow. The things you find out.
I'm sorry, Saskatchewan. I'm sorry I've let you down. I'd
like to tell you that I used to have a lot of respect for you, but
I've known you long enough to know that's not true.
Yeah. Wow. I did not know that. Wow. Learn something every week.
There you go.
Where are we? Oh yeah, sheep. Sheepdogs.
Yeah, sheep.
Okay, so anyway, the Prairie Proud Night. Besides the sheep that they're bringing in, they did mention that they're going to have homegrown musical talent showcased throughout the game. I like that. As I mentioned already, I like the local music flavor that they're going to be bringing. So if they can do that, that's how you can make a Prairie Proud theme work. But otherwise, it's Tinny Larts and Jess Moskaluk. Like, come on. Like, I already know what it is. Yeah, exactly. It's Country Roots Night. Labor Day. Obviously, nobody ever does a theme for Labor Day because it's Labor Day. And I get that. You don't really need the theme to try and sell tickets to a game that's probably going to sell out anyway. So, but they're going to have Fog Dog playing. Do you have anything against fog or dogs, Steve?
Nope.
No.
Anything with dog in the title is fine, other than the sheepdog. Dogs are great. Sheepdogs are not.
The Kiss Saskatchewan game, 2 days before Truth and Reconciliation Day. So the timing on that is excellent and important to have those. So again, much like the community culture game night, got to have those.
That's the one that, while it's not a theme, I'm glad they do it every year. Yes, because it's an important, for Saskatchewan, it's an important conversation that we need to have year after year. And I love learning things on that day. And it's the one day you'll ever see me wearing any color other than green on Rider game day. You know, you rock those orange shirts.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Legends Night. They're not going to change that. That's when they do the Plaza of Honor inductees at halftime.
Durant this year, right?
Better be just by himself. I'm curious though with the Legends Night, because this is, we asked Don Narcisse this and he said they didn't ask him to come up. Are they going to do anything for the 35th anniversary of the 89 Grey Cup team? You're going to do a Legends Night? You got to bring some of those guys in. Aldag and Poli live here. You'll probably get them. Probably bring in Suter. He's probably going to call that game for TSN. So you can bring him in. I want to see them bring in Jeff Fairholm, obviously. Huge touchdown in that game. But what about a guy like Mark Guy? Get a hold of the unsung heroes of that 89 team if you can and bring those guys in.
There's a guy that doesn't get enough love despite being such a key part of that 89 Grey Cup game. You hear him in passing, but you never hear guys go, you know, the Roger or the Aldags and the Narcisses and the Eldgards and the Mark Guy. But we don't win that Grey Cup without him.
They don't.
Right?
Those catches, both like second down catches too, to extend those drives. Huge.
Yep. Plus, so, why don't we see a bunch more guy jerseys in the crowd? That just seems like such a good jersey to get.
Right?
Just guy.
And the final theme game, again, the last game of the year. They're not going to change it. The 13th Fan Appreciation Day, right before Halloween. So they're calling it Trick Plays and Treats. So wear your costumes, all that kind of stuff. So they usually never have a home game around Halloween. So
I know, I'm excited.
We can see something pretty creative out of the fans. And they can, I don't know, do a Thriller dance or something. That'd be great. The whole team doing that. Anthony Lanier.
Just a big old mob dance, like a flash mob on the field after the game.
When they come out for Bring 'Em Out, they run out to the middle of the field and then it just hits the Thriller and they all just start doing the Thriller dance.
Could you imagine if you're whoever we play that night, you're sitting on the other side of the sidelines watching them suddenly do a full 42-man choreographed Thriller dance?
Man,
I'd be terrified.
You think seeing the haka in rugby is something? Wait till you see the Riders do the Thriller dance.
Oh, we gotta get in Mace's ear. We need to see that. That has to be a thing.
So those are the themes, and again, it's the exact same ones we've had in 2023, 2022, and 2021, and so on and so forth. I just wish they get a little bit creative with these. Try something new. Do what Montreal's doing. And I wrote about this too. They're so underwhelming, but you don't have to reinvent the wheel here. Superhero night. Dress up as your favorite superhero. Wear that big S on your chest, right? Like you can have fun with that. It's super easy to do. And you can have fun with the players doing some vignettes or whatever for the Maxtron. There's your theme. Easy.
I went to a superhero night for the Rush a few years back.
Yeah.
Absolute blast. And fans enjoy those kinds of things. You get fans. I mean, I dress up for any game, but you get fans who dress up for those kinds of games because there's a reason to do it beyond the game on the field. It just makes the atmosphere more fun. And if people are having fun, the energy is higher. And if the energy is higher, it's better for your team. Not rocket science.
No. So Montreal's doing a superhero night. They're doing a beach night as well. Which happens to be against the Riders. So I know Ferlin wants to go dressed as Ken. His job is beach after all. But those are fun things that you can, like, you're going to have your same basic core, you know, five or six themes, but the other ones you can leave wide open and have some fun with and just go all in on. And that's what I wish they would do. Just own it and just have fun with it. And this team seems like they're allergic to fun when it comes to marketing.
And that's why I liked the lights out game, because while it didn't necessarily go the way they always wanted, it brought about a different atmosphere to game day. And you had the players were involved with it right off the bat coming out of the tunnel. The one mistake they've got there is the game kicking off at 5 or 6 when the sun's in the sky. Yeah. You know, it's hard to really get excited about turning the lights off when it's brighter than a sunny day out there, but the thought was there. And by halftime, you could at least get into the atmosphere. But you have a game like a beach game or superhero night or 80s night, or there is an entire sports world that has come up with thousands of theme nights that you can do, and any of them work. The whole purpose of it is to get a different crowd to the games, or to get the crowd that's there energized in a different way, or just like you said, make it fun.
You mentioned the Rush and their superhero game that you went to. The Rush, the Blades, and the Saskatoon Berries, all owned by Saskatoon Entertainment Group, they do such a fantastic job. I used to not care about the Blades and if they won or lost. I like junior hockey. I don't really have a team. I don't cheer for the Pats. I just want to see a good game. When they did their April Fool's joke, rebranding the team as the Saskatoon Bananas, and came out with merchandise after, That's brilliant. And you can have fun with that. Can't be that hard to do for the Riders, can it?
Didn't you buy a Bananas hat?
I have a hat, I have a shirt, and I have a hoodie, actually.
And there's another reason to have fun in a way like that. It sells merchandise.
They did a gag for April 1st and got $150 out of me.
Right? Like, imagine if they did that. Like, didn't they do it for actual games afterwards?
They did, yeah. They weren't going to, but the response was so overwhelmingly good. Like, I think they had practice jerseys, but they actually did that for a game the following year because they make that a thing now because people have bought into it. I was going to say the Saskatoon Berries having a bear as the mascot of their baseball team. They haven't even hit the field yet soon. But they have a bear as the mascot. His name is Barry and his number is 3.14. It's pie. Like, come on. That's just, they're having fun with it and jump right in and realize we're going to own this. We're going to be, you know, the team of pie, right? Saskatoon Berries. We are going to,
you know what the Berries did today alone. I mentioned getting season tickets for the Red Sox.
They offered you a job.
The official account for the team tried to bribe me with Saskatoon Berry pie. Like, this is their Twitter account. I didn't even tag the Saskatoon in it. And they were immediately on that rivalry. And then they replied to the Red Sox saying, you know, he didn't take a bribe. Good job. You got a good one. Like, I work scorekeeping for the Red Sox. I look forward to those games only because of what I've seen out of the Berries already. Sports is supposed to be entertainment.
Yes, it's fun.
And I get that it's also a business and that the Riders, the on the field stuff is important. And absolutely it is. And winning will solve any problem that we have, you know. Winning would do more than anything the team could do marketing-wise. But you still need to do it. And we saw this as fans of the team through the 90s and the 2000s when this team almost went under. Under the Jim Hopson era, we saw them take a real look at how they market this team. And look what happened. Look where the team is now. Look what they're doing. They are now the flagship franchise of the CFL. And they've taken that for granted. And they've basically said, we can sit back and count the money now because we've done the work 10 years ago. Well, fans now don't care about what you did 10 years ago. Especially after the novelty of the new stadium's worn off. You know, they haven't been great the last few years. You need to build it back. You need to do what Hopson did and get this team. Make it fun again. Make it Saskatchewan. Let us enjoy it. But for the love of all things holy, come up with some new themes. Just one. Give me one next year. One actual theme.
I bet you they do superhero. I bet you they do that next year.
Do it. I'd love it. Superhero is a super easy one to do.
Right?
You will not. Everybody can find. You can go to Party City and have a superhero costume in 20 minutes.
Yep.
If you really wanted to dress up. Hell, a bunch of people probably just have them in their closets already.
Yeah, exactly. You're looking for yours? Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a few. Let's be honest.
Good transition here, talking about the marketing. And just things going off the rails again for the Riders. The Rider tax strikes again. I'm scrolling on IG. Kids still say that IG? Is that what it is? Instagram?
I don't understand what kids these days say nowadays.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're on TikTok now. I'm not. I watch reels two weeks later, like a real man. but I'm scrolling on Instagram and the Riders ad comes up for the Rider store. New stuff or new spring arrivals are here. Come check them out. And I usually like to try and get something new for every training or in training camp. I get excited for the season. Take my money. Please take some of my money. I don't have much of it, but here, take what I have. Looked online. One of the first things I saw, $130 hoodie for the Riders. $130. Not even a nice hoodie. Sorry, bunny hug. Bunny hug. It was nice. It wasn't $130 nice. And we've seen this before where the exact same thing over in Winnipeg is 30% cheaper. I get it. The rider tax is a thing. We have to pay the privilege of being a fan, which is ridiculous. But I looked just for curiosity to see what the Bombers had. And yes, they also have $130 hoodies. But what they also have are different options, price point wise, not just a whole bunch of $100+ hoodies. They had one, it was a blue one, just had the ugly W, that upside down M, that really ugly logo. Just a letter. But it was $50. More people can afford $50 than they can $130 for a hoodie. You have, there's a market for the $130 hoodie. Don't get me wrong. People will spend that. That's fine. People also need to be able to have the option to buy a $50 hoodie. If that's all you can afford, you get that. Perfect. Doesn't make you any less of a fan. And we've talked about the marketing before. If you can only spend $5, but there's no $5 item, well, like, does the team not want your $5? Got to have something for everybody. Make it accessible for everyone to be a fan. And this team constantly gets away from that. And they've done some really good things over the last couple of years to try and get back into the community and make it more that Saskatchewan Rough Rider feel like it used to be. And they've taken the steps. They're still not there yet. I think there's still a long way to go, but they got to have some $50 options for a sweater, not $50 for a t-shirt. That puts a hole in there after one wash. Like, the quality isn't worth it. If something is worth the money, I don't mind paying for it. But I know that the quality that they have isn't worth it. So I ended up not buying anything. I want to give them some money. But,
and you're not alone in that. And people who walk into that store with money in their hands and walk out without something with the Rider logo on it because they can't justify the cost. And we've talked about the Rider tax over and over and over again, and it seems to get worse year after year. I don't want to sit here and like rag on the marketing team. They have done great, and we have given them props recently for a lot of the things that they are doing. But that is one area where there is a clear space for improvement. And it doesn't mean you have to stop selling the jerseys and the $180 anythings or the big market items, because like you said, there are still people who will pony up for it. But you need to feed the community as a whole. And you're throwing away money or potential money by not offering options for everybody. Because the guy who's going in there with $150 for a sweater is still going to buy the sweater if that's what he went in for. But the guy looking for that $20, jersey or something with the Rider logo on it is just going to leave with this $20. And I don't understand, we talked for years about the, you could sell anything with the Rider logo on it. Cause you can, we've seen literally everything with a Rider logo slapped on it. Like there is literal kitchen plugs. Like we talked about the kitchen sink. There is everything with a Rider logo on it. And that's great, but it's not as prevalent as it used to be.
No,
like they don't have those little baubles anymore. Those little things that, with that logo that would sell for $10, $15, $20. Everything has gone up, 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 up. They're leaving the middle class behind.
Well, and it's not just a Riders thing. I need to say that as well. It's a full pro sports thing that it's become an elitist event to be a pro sports fan. You got to have a lot of money, even if you just want to watch the game on TV and just be super, super casual. Hey, did the Riders win? Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Right. If you want to buy a $10 shirt, perfect. That's how you can support the team. If you want to go to the grocery store and get a $5 bag of all dresslers, and that's how you can afford to support the team, or that's how you want to support the team, you should be able to do that. And you just can't anymore. And I wish we could get back to that way.
Man, I miss the co-op options. Those were fun.
The cereals, the Fantuz flakes, Getzlaf, Durant had a serial too.
Just looking back at, we've talked about it last week and we'll talk about it again and again, but that Jim Hopson era of marketing and Rider football was exactly where they need to go back to.
Yes.
Where you couldn't walk five steps without somebody in green because they bought that $10 shirt because it was available.
Yep. Okay. Well, we got to move on here. I wanted to do the CFL player rankings where the players did their own power rankings. Maybe we'll save that for next week because there's a lot to unpack there.
I think we can get through it pretty quick. Is there really that much to unpack?
All right. Okay. Reggie Begelton, probably the most level-headed one out of them all here, goes BC, Winnipeg, Montreal, Toronto, Saskatchewan, Calgary, Hamilton, Edmonton, Ottawa. That sounds probably pretty close to how I would put the power rankings. Tavares Daniels, Montreal at number one. That's where I'm going to have them first power rankings anyway. You're the champions.
The defending champs. Yep.
Number one. Then Toronto, BC, Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, Ottawa, Hamilton, Calgary, Edmonton. I'd still put Ottawa last, but the rest of them, okay, sure. Eugene Lewis, BC, sure. Edmonton at number two. Then Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, Montreal, Calgary, Ottawa, Toronto at eight, and then Hamilton last. I don't know what's up with that.
That whole list is what happens when you drink too much before you put pen to paper. None of that makes any sense other than BC, Winnipeg. That's it. The rest of it is just all flipped up. It's like flipped them upside down and then gave them a little shake to get Hamilton to the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, I get putting your own team high up in the rankings.
Oh, like James Butler?
I don't know what well.
New friend of the show, smart. James Butler, yeah. Right? Puts the Riders at number one. Guy. Puts the Riders at number one. I don't know how, but okay, sure. And then, of course, Hamilton at number two. BC, Montreal, Winnipeg, Ottawa, Edmonton, Calgary, and Toronto at last. Okay, well, that's clearly a Hamilton versus Toronto thing. That's just to try and get people riled up. Which is funny because I always say power rankings mean nothing, but yet they're the one thing that people constantly talk about throughout the season. My team should be four, not number five, and they'll absolutely rip into you for it. Like, guys, it means nothing. It really means nothing. But it's just weird to me that how different these are from these players.
I love that the CFL did this. It's fun. It almost makes me like the players that went off the rails a little bit more. I have respect for Eugene Lewis now. I mean, I did before, but more because he just threw out the most ridiculous rankings, knowing full well the entire CFL community was going to see this. And there, you know, if Edmonton is not in the top half of the standings, he's going to hear about it all year long.
Oh, how many people bookmarked that?
Oh.
And are just waiting for week one and for them to lose to the Riders and just to shove it in his face.
Right.
Right.
Like, I respect the players for throwing their names out there and having a little fun with it. This is the kind of stuff I want to see more of. I want to get to know these players. I want to see them having fun from a league level, not just the Riders and the team, but the league having a little bit of fun. These guys are marketable people.
Well, and hopefully this is what the manager of player marketing that the league hired couple months ago is doing. Get these guys out there, make them stars,
right? We want to love these guys. That's
well,
fans want to get attached to players, to have that connection with them and have that enjoyment of the experience. This is what does it.
And we'll be honest here, and this will get into our last talking point. The league needs more faces. They'll need a new face of the league. Because the one that they've been trying to make work, and I ate crow on last year. Well, crow's coming back. Chad Kelly. Shut up, dude. For one, shut up, Chad Kelly. Stop talking. Stop
log
tweeting.
Out of Twitter.
Yep. Not going well for him. So obviously had the lawsuit pending against him. It now includes new sexual harassment claims. Arash Madani of Sportsnet tweeted out, "My sources at the league office tell me that a number of staff voiced concern with how the commissioner and senior staff have handled the Kelly matter. In response, a dismissive, flippant memo was then sent internally. Subsequently, some female league office staff resigned." Now, I understand from a league perspective, you can't say anything. They hired their investigator. They're going to let the process play out, and then they'll comment on it once it's done. They have lawyers telling them to shut up. And legally, they're doing the right thing. The smart thing, I guess. The problem is the public view. Because them just not saying anything and still hyping this guy up, and or at least not coming down with some sort of sanctions or putting him on a suspended list or anything like that, is a bad look for the league. Even though they don't need to do anything, at least until this investigation is done and whatever ruling comes out of it comes out, it's still a bad look from the public perception. And they're just taken, and the Argos too are taking such a beating on this, rightfully so, because they weren't proactive in getting this out, and also just making the comment and then saying we'll have no further comment and just letting it be done. But Argos, CFL, rein in your face, player, rein them in, because I get it. You're going to have a meltdown on Twitter. You're going to have a meltdown on Twitter. That's fine. But this guy, he needs help. In my mind, he needs somebody to coach him through. Team psychiatrist, team psychologist, doesn't matter. He just needs to shut up and just go away for a little while until this process is done.
I think the problem is the things that he's tweeting, almost they come out of nowhere, and they make no sense. He'll go through a stretch where it's blank, it's quiet, nothing happens, and then he'll do, crapping on CFL salaries. Okay, he's not necessarily wrong, but dude is also making over 600 grand a year. Not sure he's the one that wants to be talking about CFL salaries in that fashion. But then the other tweets, like, what was it? I like them foreign.
Yeah.
Who knows what he means, but there are clear perceptions to that kind of tweet.
Yep.
And it's just, like, I get it. If it doesn't mean anything related to anything negative or anything with innuendo, then be more clear about what you're saying. Because right now you have a negative outlook. Like the league fans have a negative outlook on who you are and what you've done. And you're doing nothing to help that perception. You're making it worse. And he just needs to log out. I'm all for freedom of speech. I get it. I'm not telling him he has to do this. But for his own good, he needs to sit back and maybe not be on social media.
Freedom of speech does not give you freedom from consequences.
Oh, absolutely not.
And people don't understand that.
You are free to say what you want.
Yeah. But there are actions, good or bad, based off that. He just needs to stop. He needs somebody close to him, a trusted friend, Uncle Jim, to sit down and be like, dude, stop. Just stop. Because in a month when training camps open, what do you think that first question to him is going to be? The Argos generally don't get a lot of press in the national media. Training camp, especially if the Leafs are, well, that'll probably be done the first round, so the Leafs won't be in it. But the Jays are on, right? There'll be people at that first training camp day for the Argos, and that's going to be the question. It's all going to be about Chad Kelly.
And from the team, this is a worst-case scenario for them. They were, after the Grey Cup win and the success they had last season, there was a very clear rise to their attendance. to the perception of the team. Everything positive was going, you know, everything was going Toronto's way. But this offseason, between the lost players, the Chad Kelly situation, the way they've handled it in general, is not going to help them continue that rise. It's going to see them drop. And I don't want to see that. This league needs a successful Toronto market if we want to see the league grow. And we do. We want to see 9 successful franchises in this league, at least off the field. But they've taken such a huge step back this offseason. And I hate it, because all we've heard about for the last decade is the Argos have no fans and their fan base sucks. And they were finally starting to grow.
Yep.
Just to have an offseason like this. Like, just, I feel for them.
Well, I bet you within the next month, we'll have an answer on what's going on there. Cause I don't think they'll want to get this going into the regular season.
Absolutely not.
But we'll leave it there this week. Yeah, I think we'll just leave it there.
Good a spot as any.
I don't have any sheepdogs to play us out, unfortunately, but this is marking my official crusade on getting the sheepdogs to perform at halftime show Grey Cup. Just in spite of you. Because I'm still blown away that you don't like the sheep. You don't have to like them, but just like to hate them the way that you do, like the Chris Streveler of music. Just wow.
Have they tried being good at what they do?
Wow. Sam.
I mean, I would say that, but I haven't listened to any of their stuff in 15 years. So maybe they are good now.
I can't wait to drop that cameo on you.
I refuse to pay for that.
It'll be a tax write-off. All right. Well, Piffles Podcast, of course, brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Special thanks as well to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty, Churchill Brewing Company, and the Sheepdogs for their support making the show possible. Thanks for watching on Sass Telemax TV on demand on YouTube, listening on your favorite podcast platform. We appreciate it. This is Ghost Behind Your Mind by Tyler Gilbert.